everybody.
Good morning. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 533 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. This is also, Mike, this is also 412 Day. April the 12th is 412 Day. You see back here, I have my hat out, 412. And also, Mike, for a surprise for a Friday show, I also have this.
You.
Yeah, baby.
You.
That's right. And you know what? I wouldn't have got this, of course, for you that are listening and can't see the show. I'm wearing a Caitlin fucking Clark shirt. And the only reason I got it for a couple reasons, obviously, because I like Caitlin Clark, but it's also in Steeler colors. So I am fine wearing this. I mean, obviously, if it was a Texas or one of these teams with, you know, these goofy colors, I wouldn't have got it. But there it is, guys.
I like it.
Caitlin fucking Clark, baby.
I like it.
I had to get it.
Good thing she went to Iowa and not like UConn or someplace like that. Like you said, you can wear the colors.
I would have never bought anything like that from UConn, but yes, absolutely. You can't get any closer with the colors than what Iowa has with the black and the yellow. So I did get this Caitlin fucking Clark shirt. I love it. It literally says Caitlin fucking Clark right on the front. It's a black shirt. Caitlin fucking Clark, baby. One more time. Caitlin fucking Clark. Yeah. So can't say that I don't support the women in their basketball. I do. I support it 100%. And I support Caitlin Clark. But good morning, everybody. Episode 533 on 412 Day. It's Friday. Inching toward the weekend, Mike. It's almost here. Won't be long. We got some sports going on over the weekend. We got Buccos. We got Penguins. Some Riverhounds. Some UFL football. So we got some things to go over today on top of some things that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I like the way that these Bucks and Pucks days fall. A lot of times the Pirates. And you know, and I keep saying this, but it's almost impossible not to because the Pirates play every day, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, going to happen more often than not that they end up both playing on the same day. We're going to change the pace a little bit today. We're going to start with the Penguins. I was going to start with whoever won. And it's
That's fair.
And it's fair. And you know what? And Derpy, he's not going to be on today, per se. But he said he's going to be on the board.
Okay. He better be.
Hold on, I have to read his excuse from his mom. Give me a second. let's see. I can't do it. I'll be on the board. I still got them scabies, he said.
Hey, at least he admits he got the scabies.
He got the scabies. But Derpy, that means that you have to participate on the board. Last time you were on the board, but nobody knew you were there. So
yeah, he didn't talk. He didn't write. He didn't call. Nothing, Derpy.
Yeah, so Derpy, feel free. I encourage you. If you're on the board too, in fact, participate on the board.
Yes,
that'd be great.
Because yes. I'm tired of talking to Ryan Derpy.
Yeah, exactly.
We're tired of seeing each other.
So there you go. Derpy was in the house. He did stop in briefly. Mike said that
he did. I saw him pop in. By the time I had my mic and headset hooked up, he was gone.
So there you go. Mike, Pittsburgh Penguins in some dire games.
Yeah.
They played Detroit last night. They're game 79. 79th game of the year. Penguins play the Detroit Red Wings in a home game, a game that's basically a must win, or the playoffs have started already for them. Penguins, it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was getting to go into OT, but we ended up getting the extra point with the win, and you know what? We needed it. We can't have any losses from here on out, and it was nice to rebound from that loss with the game before. So good game for the team. They're battling. They're doing a lot better than I thought they would be down the stretch.
They win this game 6-5 in overtime. As Mike has said, Erik Karlsson scores the game-winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers like this go down last night. You had Sidney Crosby. He had a goal and two assists. Rust had a goal and two assists. Players with a goal were Carter, Letang, O'Connor, and Karlsson. in Carlson's 999th game of his career. He scores the game-winning goal in overtime, keeps things alive for the Penguins.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly what sure needs to happen now, and who needs to lose and who needs to win. It's all still scrambled, and I'm trying to piece it all together. But again, as Mike said, the win is a big win. You got to start getting wins at this. They started beating the teams they need to beat. I don't know how. I don't know where this came from, but they are back in the hunt. And again, they beat Detroit last night in Game 79. Mm-hmm. Game 80 will be tomorrow against Boston at home, which should be a very tough game. Boston's never easy.
No, they're like one of the best teams in the NHL. It's a tough one.
Absolutely. Let's see, Crosby. Sidney Crosby named the team MVP for the 12th time.
Shocker.
Mario. And that's, I think it is a shocker because to me, I think he should have probably been the team MVP more than that.
Right? Kind of like, know? Yeah, exactly. Just how dominant he has been throughout his career. But, you know, there were years that, you know, where Malkin had some pretty good years as well. So, let's see. But yeah, this year it's well deserved. Crosby should be the team MVP. And I'm sorry, he should be in talks as league MVP. Why that's not getting a bigger push, I don't know why. Yeah, he doesn't have the sun up there in points like he used to be, but that doesn't mean, you know, you are the most valuable player by having the most points. When you take Crosby off of this team, they're fighting for that top pick overall, not fighting for a class. So that's just how important he is to this team. Once he's, you know, kicked it into that extra gear, the team followed.
Absolutely. And Mike, you know, as I stated, he was voted the team MVP for the 12th time. For the 12th time in his career, tying Mario Lemieux. Also, Mike, last night, he accomplishes a couple other things. Crosby gets his 1,000th assist. He's been the 14th player in NHL history to reach that plateau. And also, he did top the top 10 with his points. Mike, he has 1,590 points in his career, cracking that top 10. So, Sidney Crosby, if anything, yes, he is having an MVP-type season. But you know what, this guy, let's see what kind of push he can make this, you know, help this team do. And and see if he can get this team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
At that point, maybe I think you can start considering him for MVP. If this team misses the playoffs again, I think that there's other guys in the league.
Yeah. It would probably like default to like McDavid or one of the guys up in Toronto. Austin Matthews might default to one of those two. But like we were saying, if they make it in, he definitely deserves top consideration. And real quick, you're talking about that, you know, his points, 1,000 points, 590 goals. Imagine where he would be at if he didn't lose those 2 years to the cheap headshots from the Capitals, missing 2 years due to concussions. Yeah. This guy would be even higher up the list. But, you know, how he's able to rebound from that, still put up these gaudy numbers, is impressive. And that what, 1,000 assists came on the game-winning goal last night, so that timing. And you know, when you're a great player, you know these milestones usually happen on game-winning goals. Sid, once again, player for the dramatics.
And he really should be. And I say this, Mike, and I say this confidently, if he does get this team to the playoffs,
yep,
after the dire situation they were in, mm-hmm, and he does keep accomplishing these kind of numbers, I mean, it's almost going to be hard to not have him in the MVP category, at least.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of other great hockey players out there, so we'd have to see how that would play out. But you know what? At this point in his career, when you're kind of starting to see Malkin kind of taper off, you're still seeing Crosby give everything he has, and it's very impressive, especially at this point in his career. It's going to be a lot of fun, Mike. They have Boston Saturday, 8:00. Do they have a chance? Do they win this game? Do they have to win this game to keep the dream alive? Kind of clear that up for us a little bit.
I say we have to win this game because the Capitals are right there, Red Wings, Flyers, all right there, a point behind us. So we can't afford a misstep. And you know, we've been saying our schedule coming up. Now we got, excuse me, we got Boston, then like Nashville, New York, three tough teams. You know, we have to win these games. We have to win out. There's the margin for error. Error is 0% right now. That's how I feel. I haven't looked at anyone else's schedule, but just looking at ours, we have to win out. It's going to be tough. Games at Boston? Against Boston?
No, it's
at home.
at home against Boston, at home
against
okay,
that makes it a
Nashville,
little bit easier,
and then you
but
go on the
still,
road to play the
yeah.
Islanders to finish it off.
These Saturday games against Boston, me personally, I hate them. I just feel like they never go well for us. I think it's going to be a tough hoe, but the way this team's playing, I think they're going to pull it out. And if they win this game, I think they win out, make it to the playoffs, and go on a little run. This is that team. This is that team that that's getting caught at the right time that you don't want to play.
Don't think they do it. I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think they're good
That's
enough.
fair enough. That's fair enough.
I think that they showed who they were through the course of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think this late rush is who they are. I don't think if they would stumble in the playoffs, if they could continue this kind of rush, this continue, the continuation of their success.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. I just again, it's this seems like something recent. They got on a horse. Now they're winning some
Yeah.
games. I just don't know if they're that good of a team. I think they're, they have all the talent in the world, but for whatever reason, it's between the ears, and this team
Yeah.
isn't, it isn't. They're not ready to move on. And again, if they are, I mean, can you see this team getting any further than maybe the first round?
Maybe the first round. Of course, they haven't been out of the first round in how
But at
long?
some point, I mean, they're going to turn back to the Penguins. They're going to turn
Yeah.
back to that team that they've
Well,
been all season. And it's ups, it's downs, it's roller coaster. And you know what? You have that in the playoffs. That's why I don't see this being a successful run. I personally don't think they get in.
yeah, and like you're saying, between the years, we saw it last night twice. Letang, bad plays lead to a goal. Carlson, bad play leads to a goal against as well. So they were lucky both of them were able to score and get it back. We were lucky to escape with a win rate. So they can't keep playing like the way they those stupid mistakes in the playoffs would kill you. And now this year we've seen it all year. Those two on defense making stupid plays that lead to goals. We've seen the power play playing terribly, leading to shorthanded goals. But I see what you're saying. I want this team to keep rolling, but like you said, they haven't
I've
really
seen
shown.
nothing
They
that would
haven't
make me
shown.
believe that. I would say I see nothing that would make me believe otherwise. I do want to say good morning to Brian on the board. Derpy is also in the house. There he is. He's got his he's
Derpy.
he says his scabies are killing him. Him and Brian are talking about his ringworm right now.
The medical corner in the going on in the chat right now.
He we have him quarantined.
We got the CDC showing up. We got
Yeah,
World
he's
Health
quarantined to
Organization.
the
They're
board. We ain't giving him any opportunity
yeah.
to spread his scabies.
I think they're sending Derpy to Area 51 the last I checked.
The LeBron James, there was a video during the Pittsburgh Penguin game last night, LeBron James saluting Duquesne, their big wins and being, in the tournament and winning that game in the big tournament. LeBron James video during the Penguin game last night. That was interesting, Mike.
Yeah.
Just because, a lot of this talk, and I don't think it will ever happen. I think he's
No.
going to continue to go in the into the NBA draft. But of course, Bronny James' son, he there was speculation early that he might
Yeah.
land in Duquesne University if he if he did in fact go into the transfer portal and go somewhere else. But we'll see. We'll
We'll
see.
see.
I just thought it was interesting. It was pretty
Yeah.
cool though that he did have a video for the team that was at the Penguin game last
Yeah.
night watching. So.
It'd be cool, he could come out, after the Lakers get eliminated. Hopefully, the Penguins are still playing. Show Bronny Duquesne and hang out at the Penguin game. Hang out with
Yeah.
Crosby. That would be the great duo to watch. Crosby and LeBron hanging, the introvert and the extrovert together. I that should be the new reality show. Follow those two.
The big thing, though, I thought about the game wasn't LeBron James. I don't even think it was the win. I think it was the 6 foot tall Jager bobblehead that they have down there now. That's
What?
they have a 6 foot tall Jager bobblehead that you could get your picture taken with and all that down at the arena. I it makes me wonder if this would have happened if the whole Jager bobblehead incident didn't go down, but they are having a little fun with it. There was a big 6 foot tall, legit replica of the Jager bobbleheads that got stolen and returned, and are
That is great.
in the course of currently right now they are getting them out to where they need to be. Of course, people were at that game and they are
Yeah.
trying to get them to them as best as they can.
The Penguins PR department really capitalized. So that's just how you do it. Turned something silly like that into something even sillier and capitalize on it that the fans love. I like it.
Brian on the board says Derpy's probably not sick. He's probably at Gabby Marshall's house. Of course, Gabby Marshall from Iowa. I don't know why. I don't know why you keep saying that, Brian. I don't know why you keep pinning Derpy at the. I don't know why you keep pinning Derpy at Gabby Marshall's house.
No, that's why she had to delete her social. It wasn't the death threat.
It was Derpy.
It was Derpy because they don't want their love to be exposed to them.
Mike actually had to delete his social media because of Derpy too. So it doesn't surprise me.
Well,
one bit.
That's a whole nother.
That was kind
issue.
Of the same thing.
Well, you know,
he kept sending him pictures of his balls and he's like, yeah.
You know, I told you that in confidence.
Poor Gabby. So there you go, guys.
I don't know what's worse.
Do stay in the hunt.
Her receiving the death threats or getting
what is he, talking about? He says he needs more proof. He doesn't believe me. What's he talking about?
I have no idea.
I mean, you don't believe me. Derpy, I'm your representative. Why don't you believe me?
You're his advocate.
I am. I'm the. Derpy has
Derpy. Well, he did move on from Taylor. He moved.
How
Derpy,
you doing, P?
Derpy's not loyal.
Moved on from Taylor. I don't think.
Derpy's not loyal. He goes from chick to chick. He's a man whore.
But Derpy, I always have your back, and for whatever reason, you don't believe me. So. There you go.
Yeah, Ryan's over here talking up your game, Derby. You're just not helping him out any.
And then also, P, how you doing? No, he's not over Taylor either. He was all weird and gaga during football season. But you know what? Then again, last year in the fall, whenever Morgan Gruber, the country singer from American Idol, come on, he was all gaga over her. Like, he's like a dog. Anything that moves, he pounces on it.
That's why he's Derpy, man. He got that Riz.
But we do have to go, guys, into the Bucks, the second part of the Bucks and Pucks.
No, we don't.
Penguins last night, they keep hope alive by winning in overtime, 6-5 over Detroit. The Penguins are now 37-30-12. They play game number 80 Saturday, 8 o'clock against Boston. So if you want to see if this train keeps moving, there you go. I, for one, don't think it's going to happen. Mike, he's optimistic, but...
rarely optimistic.
Game number 80 tomorrow, 8 o'clock, versus Boston. Guys, the Pittsburgh Pirates, part two of the Bucks and Pucks, Thursday evening. Didn't go quite the same way that the Penguin game went. It didn't go the same way. Pirates, they didn't even make it look good. This was the worst game that I've seen them play so far this season. Mm-hmm. The Pirates are 9-4. They dropped their fourth game of the season to the Phillies, 5-1. They didn't score their run until the bottom of the bottom of the ninth inning. Jared Jones pitched a good game, 6-1, 6-3, gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. That gives him 25 Ks for the season. Just 2 behind Mitch Keller, who has 27 Ks on the season. But once again, did Coach Sheldon wait too long to pull the trigger on Jared Jones? This is where I think he has his problem, timing on when to pull people, when to bring new pitchers in. Because he got to that inning, whenever it was, where they broke it open. I mean, it was 1-0 for a while, then it was 2-0. And then before you know, it's 5-0 in an inning where they get multiple home runs. Could this been eliminated? Could this been stopped? He goes to Holderman. Holderman ends the inning, gets out of there, and they lose 5-1. But, you know, this, of course, is going to bleed back into the David Bednar conversation because I do still have a few things I want to say about that. But, Mike, is this generally an issue in the major leagues? Is managers trying to figure out the right time?
Yeah.
Yank that guy and when not to. I mean, sometimes he might just had a few bad pitches and had a few at-bats that he struggled, but he then will be able to overcome and continue and have a rest of the game be a good game.
Yeah.
When is this a problem in the majors? Because I know it's a problem with the Pirates to figure out that right point to when you want to pull that pitcher, Mike. Is that, you know?
It is. Because like you were saying, is it just a few bad pitches? Because you see it, like pitchers will get into a jam, and then next thing you know, they pitch themselves out of it. They get out of the inning, no damage done. So it's you have to have that almost like a perfect feel for what's going on. What's going on with your guy? What's going on with the other team? Or when to pull that trigger. And you do see it throughout the majors. It is a hard thing to do because, you know, starting pitchers are weird. They're like bullies. You know, they have that weird mindset. So they can get down, but they can also get back real quick, pick themselves out of the jam. But it feels like we see it more here in Pittsburgh, maybe because, you know, it's our team. We follow them all the time. But I do see when I watch SportsCenter and you see, like, oh, managers should have taken him out early, or, oh, no, they pulled him too early. Should have let your guy get out of the jam. Here, you know, with someone like a younger pitcher, he's had some pretty good success. Like you said, 25 strikeouts in, what, 3 starts?
Yeah.
Looking at the stats, you'd say, yeah, leave him in there. He'll get out of it. But maybe someone this young, first time in the majors, this early in the season, maybe pull him out earlier. Pull him out earlier because, you know, hey, I got Holderman in there warming up. I know what he can do. I know he can get me out of this jam. In that case, I would err on the side of caution, picking someone like Jones out early, maybe leaving someone like Mitch Keller in, let him try to figure it out because he has a little bit of a track record of pitching out of these jams, or if Jones doesn't have it yet, maybe massage him a little bit more, manage him a little bit tighter, keep him on a tighter leash. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel like it's a toss-up in that situation.
I'm going to be honest with you. That explanation was so long, I forgot what we were talking about.
I know. I thought I had it wrapped up, thought something came in, started talking, and realized it was the same thing I was thinking.
That they did during that inning, Mike, the home run inning, the Philadelphia, whenever they really took off. And there was a fly ball to the right field. It got dropped.
It wasn't all on him.
Right. It really took you back to Succo ball. It really took you back to ball, you know, the baseball after 20-8 last year. It took you to that particular team. So let's just hope. Let's hope. And I got to tell you, Mike, this was their worst game so far in 12. What do they play? 12 games, mm-hmm. 13 games. This was the worst game I've seen the Pirates play. And let's hope that Bailey Falter could get it back on track today, as Bailey Falter is on the hill against Philly for a 6:40 start. Mike, this is game 2 of 4. I'd like to hope that we could get some wins out of Philadelphia before we, because I'm not to be arrogant because we're not this great team, but geez, oh man, I didn't expect Philadelphia would be the toughest game that we had so far.
No, and we, you know, back-to-back losses. So let's first see if time? They can, yeah, yeah, first time in the year. But you know what? You're going to have these games. And like Durfee says, 162 game season, you're going to have games like this. It's just, now can we limit these games? Can we bounce back? Now, last year we saw, you know, once it started to go down for the Pirates, it just snowballed. You started racking up loss after loss after loss. Can this team show that mental toughness and stem the tide?
Also, Mike, some other offensive numbers that went down yesterday. Oliveira's still red hot. He has 2 hits. Brian Reynolds has a hit. Michael Taylor, O'Neill Cruz, Henry Davis, and Jared Triolo, they all have a hit. Triolo has had 1 RBI. Unfortunately, that was the only RBI of the game, as the Pirates lose 5-1 in game 1 of a 4-game set against Philadelphia. Game to back at it today at 6:40. Pirates trying to right this ship. Mike, a couple of things that I want to touch on just a little bit more about this David Bednar, Shelton, and Rowdy Tellez topic before we do move on, because there is more things to be said about it as the days go on. So this is what Derek Shelton said yesterday prior to the Philly game. let me explain a little bit. The night before, he brings in David Bednar. Bednar blows the save, 3rd save in this season. At that point, the Pirates only played 12 games, and David Bednar, our closer, he already blown 3 saves. And there's a lot of question, is he over his injury or not? This is what manager Derek Shelton says yesterday prior to the Philadelphia Phillies game. Coach says this, quote, "If the Pirates have the lead in the 9th inning tonight in Philadelphia, David Bednar will be the closer." Is this loyalty? Is this smart? Is this good coaching? Mike, I don't, is it bad coaching? I don't like when somebody just comes out and gives you that statement without any buts, ands, ifs, or stipulations. Because here's the thing. You have a guy like Aroldis Chapman. Now, and I'm tired of making this point to people.
Yep.
People say, well, he's 36. Well, it doesn't matter.
No.
He could be 106. If he comes in and does what he does, that's more than enough for me. He came in the other day with bases loaded, one out, struck two guys out, got out of the inning, struck both of the guys out. He just didn't get them out. He struck them both out, ended the inning, got out of the jam. Again, David Bednar made has three blown saves so far in the first 12 games that the Pirates played. And for a coach to blindly just say this, again, if the Pirates have the lead in the ninth inning tonight in Philadelphia, David Bednar will be the closer. Wouldn't it be a smarter thing to say to yourself, one guy's struggling and the other guy could plow through a lineup still at his age at 100 plus miles an hour? I'm starting to take all blame away, everything away from Bednar, everything away from Roddy Téllez, and say that, you know what? This just it's gonna fall in that category of just another stupid coaching move by Pittsburgh Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
Yeah.
And another thing, Mike, loyalty is one thing. Yes, yeah. I acknowledge that and I respect that. But under the current situation, where the guy doesn't appear to be fully healed from his injury, blows three saves in the first 12 games of the team, and the other guy is a future Hall of Famer who came in again and could get your team out of a jam almost immediately with his pitching. And to just sit there and say over and over, I'm going to go with this guy, I'm going to go with this guy. And again, don't get me wrong. I you know, loyalty is a great thing.
Yeah.
But is this smart, Mike? Is this smart baseball? It's not just a loyalty thing. This isn't smart baseball to me, is it?
No, it's not smart baseball at all. You know, I respect him being loyal to Bednar for what he's done the past 2 years, but you can't let loyalty to a player undermine the team. And that's what's happening right here. You know, you have this luxury of having a Holderman, a Bednar, and a Chapman to where you can put them anywhere in your last three innings. And right now, Bednar is the weak link. Right now, Aroldis Chapman is pitching like he did 10 years ago. That fastball has unbelievable. It's not just fast. It has that movement on it. You can throw 103 miles an hour, but you throw it in a straight line, these guys can hit it out the park. It has 103 miles with movement. So yeah, right, you're right. Make him the closer. Holderman can be the setup man, and Bednar, he needs to, you know, let him pitch in the middle of the game or see if you can get a couple guys out. Let him build that confidence back up to where you can go, okay, you know what, we can make you the setup man. Or, hey, you know what, Chapman, you know, we came in for, you know, he pitched three straight games to get the saves. He's going to get the night off. Bednar, you're going to be the closer for this game. You're going to be the closer for the next game. Now that you work that out.
And why be such a stickler?
You have these three. I hate this stubbornness by Shelton. That's what it is. It's like, he was my guy the past few years. He's going to be my guy. This is what I had predetermined in camp. This is what it's going to happen. No, you have to be able to be fluid.
You've got to make adjustments, just like
exactly.
In football at halftime.
Yes.
If you don't make the adjustments, you lose the game. This is no different.
No different.
Make adjustments as what's working for you. One guy right now is spot on. The other guy is not.
Yeah.
Also, Mike, I got to say that the stare down that Aroldis Chapman does after he strikes out an opponent, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised that Major League Baseball didn't jump in and say you can't do this. You know, because they have all these weird little rules in baseball, but he does. He'll strike you out, and he kind of stands there with, like, in that stance,
mm-hmm.
and he just stares at you. I love it. I love it. I love having that guy on my team.
It's just the rigidness of baseball managers or of coaches in general is just frustrating. All you're doing is hurting your team. You should be doing what's best for the team. If a guy's not performing, you take him out of the lineup or you move him around in the lineup or in the rotation. It's not rocket science.
It's like Derpy. Derpy's not feeling well. We got him out of the lineup.
You put him in a role that will work when he's not feeling well.
That's right.
And, you know, right now, he's Bednar right now. We got him working a rehab assignment.
And on the board, P's over there calling him a stalker. Let's see. Also, Mike, some argue that Roddy Téllez, you know, we've had a pretty extensive conversation about him on the Wednesday show. Some may argue, Mike, that what we've seen from Roddy Téllez could be a sign of veteran leadership, being an elder statesman who could step in and, you know, kind of stick up for his guys and you know, to keep his guys' head up. And you know, some say this was a veteran move, Mike, a leadership move. What do you think of that?
I would have preferred it if he would have did it on his own media availability instead of stepping in before Bednar had a chance to talk. Because to me, it made Bednar look weak. I mean,
well, Bednar has no problem with it, then it really is an issue.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't. But it's, you know, that perception is reality type thing. It just, he looked uncomfortable with it, but he probably understood where Telez was coming from and probably appreciated it. But he did have, in the whole thing, he looked uncomfortable with it. So that's how I saw it, and that's how, you know, you can only base your reaction on how you feel by watching it. So that's just how I felt. But I understand, you know, when people say, oh, it's a veteran guy sticking up for his teammates, which you would appreciate. Me personally, I think you do that on your own media availability. You don't jump into someone else's interview.
If that was the question, I might agree. But again, I haven't heard Bednar say anything.
Bednar didn't say anything. Maybe they talked after. You don't know. But yeah, I see
also
what
Mike Rowdy Telez, you know, he's also been noticed in a short period of time here for leadership moves as going after O'Neal Cruz earlier in the season for some bad throws to first base. You know, he got together, he said, hey, dude, you know, you throw really fast. It's very impressive. But these balls, they have to be catchable for a first baseman.
Yeah.
So there are moves that Rowdy Telez is making that again, people are digging about the guy. I ultimately think the big problem the other day was Derek Shelton and his decision on when to pull a guy, when not to pull a guy. So we'll continue to monitor that. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't need a closure last night while losing 5-1 to Philadelphia. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. Again, today, back at it, 6:40 in game 2 of 4. One other thing that I do want to say is a note as far as this situation with Rowdy Telez and David Bednar and the fans booing and David and Shelton and everybody else. A lot of people don't know this. Some people may be just learning this. But yes, at one time, the great, great, great Roberto Clemente was booed by Pittsburgh fans. So if you boo Clemente, you'll boo anybody, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You'll cheer Terry Bradshaw getting hurt, you'll boo anyone.
Right.
That's how we do it here in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
That just shows that you care as a fan. You boo everyone.
Well, that's right. That's how I feel.
You know what? At least we didn't throw batteries at Santa Claus and boo Santa Claus. Like Philly fans.
If you didn't hear us booing, then, you know, we wouldn't care. So
yeah, exactly. That shows like we actually care about the Pirates this early in the season. We expect better out of them. That's, you know, that's a good thing, guys. It's a good thing.
And I liked it last night. They split it up on TV. Sometimes they put the Pens over the Pirates or the Pirates over the Pens. They split it up and they did have them on two different parts of that, you know, the Pittsburgh Sports Channel. So it was nice getting the turn back and forth to watch both of those games. And again, both of these teams don't usually lose on the same night when they do Bucks. I don't know if they have yet. So let's hope that continues because, again, on Saturday night, they will both be playing for the next installment of the Bucks and Pucks.
Well, it better be a sweep for the Bucks and Pucks because I can't handle either of these teams losing.
Yeah, me neither. Also, Mike, the Baltimore Orioles number one overall pick, Jackson Holliday, got promoted. Mm-hmm. He's in the majors as of yesterday. Does this give us any hope for seeing Paul Skenes anytime by the All-Star break?
Probably not. Ours, you know, they march to the beat of their own drummer. You know, they don't care.
He's never on beat.
No, he's off beat.
Yeah.
Like when you see like people listening to the rap music or music, you got everyone on beat, then you got the one guy.
And then there's you.
Yeah, there's me off beat. Who knows how to keep beat. I can keep tempo, but the minute I try and bob my head, I'm off beat. Yes, Bob Nutting.
Like Derby said on the board, I need proof of that, Mike. I really need proof of that.
You want to see me off beat?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Next time we go to a show,
I don't know that you
and
you'll
see
beat.
Me. I'll get everyone on beat, and there'll be me.
Yeah, yeah. And you do the head-to-head, you know, the thing that the white people do with their head side to side.
Yeah.
You don't go side to side. I learned that. You don't do that.
No, you go. I know. I always go up and down.
You nod. Yeah. The second you go side to side, you're ousted. You're out.
You know, everyone's like, nah, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
unless you find the other guy going.
Well, no, because I know because I had to do that to you when we went down to the show and we hosted. I had to avoid you for a while because I seen you doing the side to side head move. And
well, sometimes, you know, this is what happens, man. You get the side to side.
Yeah, on the Partridge Family. No, you don't do that. Don't ever go
No,
side to
huh?
side. Don't go side to side. It's like when women wipe. You know, it's always got to be front to back. You know what I mean? This is how you have to operate. This is how you have to think, Mike.
That's
All right. Mike, also, before we do move on, we do got a few more. We got quite a few things we're going to talk about. I just really do want to hit some quick notes here. Mike, that Lindsey Harding is trying to become the first female head coach of an NBA team. She is inquiring and trying to become the first female head coach of the Hornets. Mike, what do you think about this? What do you think about a head coach in the NBA?
You know what? If she knows ball and can coach, hell yeah, it shouldn't matter.
I understand that, but how do you think that it's going to plan out when you get a lot of these high testosterone guys? They got you know
Yes, but
they're the big man in high school. They get to college. Some of them don't even go to college, and then you get there, and then there's this woman, telling you what to do, getting on your shit. How do you think that pans out overall? And not just a personal opinion, but just as you see the way
And
sports
like,
are.
and people who like, oh my God, I've seen it like in my career of working, like people who always have like a male boss and they get the female boss, they don't know how to handle that.
Right.
Like, no, you just treat them as your boss. They tell you what to do, you do, and you butt heads. But yeah, like you said, in a high testosterone world of like pro sports, how would that work? But if it's someone that they respect, it could work, but if someone they don't respect, it would be like, like when we saw Jeff Van Gundy getting choked out by his players.
Yeah.
There would be like a total out tune, but you know what? If the players respect her knowledge of the game, hey, it could work.
It's just interesting because
It'd be
here we
weird.
are, 2024. I would have thought that it would have happened sooner. I really would have.
Yeah.
I
Well,
thought
that's like
this would have been this would have
yeah.
came sooner. But if it happens, it happens. I don't know.
Hell
They
yeah, I'm all for it.
they got chicks refereeing guy games,
Yeah.
and that seems to be all
Like,
right.
well, like Pete says, like the Hornets have sucked this long with male coaches. Well, thinner. It
Right.
can't be any worse. Might
Yeah.
actually be better. Well, speaking of, like, when Calipari left, there people started talking. What about Dawn Staley
Yeah.
jumping over from South Carolina up to the men's league? So it's bound to happen somewhere. It wouldn't surprise me if it doesn't happen in college first.
I'm going to touch on a couple other things before we get into football. We do have a little bit of Steelers to get into today, Mike. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they are back at home this weekend. They're going to try to get their first win of the
Yeah.
season. The Riverhounds, they play Saturday tomorrow against Rhode Island at 7:30 down at Highmark Stadium. Go down, have a good time. Hopefully the weather's good, but get down and support
Hopefully.
these hounds. They need some support, so get
They
out
need some
there.
wins.
They need some wins.
They're
Also,
the
Mike,
weak link right now.
the UFL back in action tonight, Mike, or tomorrow, week three, DC versus Arlington at 1 o'clock, your Defenders. And then the 7 o'clock game, the later game is Memphis at Birmingham. And then on Sunday, you have Houston versus Michigan at noon. And finally, the St. Louis Battlehawks at the undefeated San Antonio Brahmas at 3 p.m. on Sunday, Mike. That former coach by the team that was formerly coached by Hines Ward
Yeah.
is sitting in there 2-0. They have an opportunity to go 3-0. So there you go. That is your up-to-date UFL schedule that continues tomorrow, week three.
Let's go,
All
DC Defenders. Fierce
spring
League.
football. Now to the important football. We have a little less than 2 weeks till the draft starts, Mike.
Yes.
You already got days off. You taking
Yes.
vacation time.
Yes.
You've been really working on this for a while.
I have.
So what I let me jump down into my Steeler information. So here's something that I picked up twice yesterday.
Okay.
Two times. Reports Steelers are still working very hard
Yeah.
to pull off a trade with San Francisco for Brandon Ayuk, Mike. They hope to have it done by the draft. Do you take any? I mean, are we hold any? Is this holding any water? Again, I seen this two different places yesterday.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it in a from a I have not heard it from an official source from the Steelers. Mike, is this going on? Is this a possibility? Is there any chance that Brandon Ayuk has traded to the Steelers? Because again, it's been all unofficial word.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, I'm putting it at like maybe 5% unofficial, just based on the unofficial words and that it keeps popping up from like different places. But like I have, like you said, you haven't seen anyone like Steeler related, Steeler media, anyone like inside unnamed sources from the Steelers saying anything. Like, haven't heard anything really from like San Fran reporters. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's something in the works because they, you know, everyone knows we need a wide receiver. And, you know, based on social media, Ayuk really doesn't want to be in San Francisco anymore.
Why is that? I don't know much about what
I
that's
don't
all
know. I it's, you see this with these wide receivers, man. It just happens. Come contract time, they want to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, he put up really good numbers out there, just made it to a Super Bowl. Maybe he's afraid, you know. We made it, we lost. Are we going to be able to get back there again? It's
right.
Like you said a couple months ago, all the quarterbacks who made it there the first time and lost, they don't get back. So maybe he's like, okay, go to this team who has brought in a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So I just don't know why he doesn't want to be there. Maybe he doesn't like, you know, the coach. Maybe he doesn't like the GM. But I'd love to have IU. He's a damn good route runner. He's a great route runner.
I think he's the best case scenario right now.
Yeah. Because, like, George, everyone wants him to be the number one, but, you know, big complaint is his route running.
Yeah.
To be a number one, you have to be able to have the great route running to separate from these great corners, because now you're going up against the number one corner.
The other name I hear bouncing around a little bit, Mike, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
No, God, no. We saw he's not a number one either in his career, and he hasn't been the same since.
But we don't need – I mean, if, you know, we bring in a number two – you know, I think you make it work with George Pickens and whoever that, yeah. And in this case, it would, you know, be Juju or whatever, but you're not a fan of the Juju return at all?
No, God, no. Like, when's the last time he played a full season? You know, he couldn't even make it up in New England with their weak receiving core with his knee injury. No, I don't want him back.
Mike, the Pittsburgh Steelers signed another kicker. They signed Matthew Wright. What do you think this is? Of course, we have a great kicker, not just a good kicker. We have a great kicker in Chris Boswell. Do you think this is for put the fire under his ass kind of purposes in the summer, or you know, most teams don't carry two kickers. What's this all about?
Training camp, like, you know, we always have multiple kickers in training camp, and then see if you can sneak him in on the practice squad in case something does happen with Bos, because he's still in. A couple times, like three times in the past, what, 5-6 years, coming in when we need him, when Boz was hurt or sick. He's the guy who came in for a while. So training camp leg, and if something happens to Boz, if they can sneak him in on the practice squad, I think that's all it is right there. Because Boz had another really good year last year. So,
yeah, I mean, we don't ride this Boz train until the end of his career. We're stupid. I mean,
yeah.
You know, with kickers, you get a guy, you keep him. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. Boz really isn't showing any signs of slowing down.
And you know, I don't understand why teams do this with, you know, they did the Gary Anderson, they did with Morton Anderson. They do, you know, once these guys get near the end of their career, they trade them. You know, and with the exception of that one kick missed by Gary Anderson, there was no reason I would have ever gotten rid of him as a Steeler, as the Steelers. But they seem to do that. They'll ride them through the meat of their career, and then they let them fly. So,
and then you scramble for 3 or 4 seasons trying to find a replacement.
Right. Mike, of course, the team that we were just talking about, the San Antonio Brahmas, who was coached by Hines Ward last season. Hines Ward, Mike, he can be Arizona State's new wide receiver coach as of next year. They are considering hiring Hines Ward at Arizona State. I'm sorry if I said Arizona or Arizona State. Arizona State is considering Hines Ward as their next wide receiver coach. Mike, I think that this would have been the next natural step for Hines Ward. Of course, it was the XFL where he was a head coach. But if he ever wants to have a coaching career, you gotta take some. Yeah. You know, I think this is a good move for him going after this wide receiver coach at Arizona State. What do you think?
Yeah, he was the receiver coach for the Jets for 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
Their numbers were not great with him as a coach, but they didn't have great quarterback play as well. So it was him with the receivers with quarterback play. Then the XFL as head coach was on a bad team. Like you said, this is the logical step. If he wants to stay in the coaching ranks, get out of college, and go there. Smart move by him.
Kenny Pickett, we reported earlier this year that Kenny Pickett will wear number 16. That changed. He will be wearing number 7. Kenny Pickett will be wearing number 7 for the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you see seven out there, know that Philadelphia is probably in trouble. Kenny Pickett will be wearing number seven moving forward.
Jalen Hurts is like, God, man, I cannot get hurt. Talk about putting pressure on the O-line.
Some news about our foes around the division. Terrell Suggs. He was arrested in Arizona for assault.
Yeah, I saw that.
Terrell Suggs.
Yeah. Pulled a gun on someone. He's claiming self-defense. Other guy is saying he was assaulted. So we'll see. If Terrell Suggs needs to pull a gun, I want to see what this other guy looks like.
I know, right?
Even though Suggs doesn't look like he used to when he played, but still, you don't want to mess. I wouldn't want to mess with Terrell Suggs. I want to see what the other guy looks like.
It's not the big guys you got to worry. It's the little guys.
Yeah, they have the guns. Yeah, the little guys.
Because they're little, you know?
Yeah. No, it's Terrell. Never change.
What's that?
I said, oh, Terrell, never change.
Oh, yeah, right. Also, Mike, we spoke the other day about Deshaun Watson and his opinion of our base defense. Mm-hmm. This conversation. Let me give you his numbers against the Steelers, okay? Mm-hmm. This is a defense he made pretty much sound like wasn't anything in this conversation. Talking about our base defense is limited. His numbers against the Steelers in his career are this, Mike, 0-3. Mm-hmm. Sacked 18 times.
Ooh, six times a game.
Six
average.
Times a game. And his TD to INT ratio is 5-4, five touchdowns, four interceptions, which is more, but it doesn't necessarily make it a good thing.
No.
So there you have it. Watson, who says that our limited base defense is really nothing to worry about, literally is 0-3 versus Steelers in his career, sacked 18 times, and has a lowly total interception ratio of 5-4. So consider the source.
Yeah, consider the source. Now, if Tom Brady said it,
right?
You mean, but, oh, okay. Okay, he's whooped our ass.
Levi Wallace, there's speculation that he may go to Denver. Levi Wallace might go to Denver. Mike, as the offseason goes along, and we pretty much realize that we're going to be going after receivers and offensive linemen in the draft. And, are you concerned? And I know that you were kind of concerned about that other cornerback position. Yeah. Is there any quick fix? Is there anything that's going to make us feel comfortable as far as cornerbacks go going in the next season at that position? Or are we prepared to just grin and bear it and see how Dante Johnson's doppelganger, what's his name?
Dante Jackson. Yeah. There's a couple of slot corners available in the draft. If they get one of those guys in the third round, I'll be more comfortable. I think they can come in and be that third guy right away. You got Mike Sims. I butchered him. The dude from Michigan. This is where I need Derby. Derby's killer on the last names.
Yeah.
You get him. I think there's a DJ Tampa. He's another guy who can play in the slot. You get one of those two guys in the third round with one of your third round picks. I think they can actually, boom, come in after training camp, OT is going to be the guy that can be that third corner, that slot corner.
I'm still thinking about okay Mike. Maybe, just maybe, Corey Trice might be good enough to play some
if he can stay healthy. Because we got Corey Trice, got Darius Rush. It was also an undrafted region that people thought would have been a late round, seventh round pick. Fell through the cracks. Another big corner that they like. So they have options there. We have two guys that we really don't know about. We got our two, JPJ and Jackson. And there's going to be a rookie in there as well. So we'll see what can happen. Like, if Trice can stay healthy, that's the key. If he can stay healthy, he would have been like a third, fourth round pick.
Which was the same thing that we said about Calvin Austin III after his first missing his first season, and what we said about O'Neal Cruz after missing his first season. And so far, things seem to be going well. Hopefully, he could follow suit. Talking about Corey Trice Jr., if he could stay, he could follow to that pattern, and he could play and stay healthy, then that would be great. My quarterback for Alabama A&M, I believe he's a freshman quarterback at Alabama A&M. His name is Jamar Graham. This gentleman, Mike, is 6'8", 255 pounds, a 6'8", 255 quarterback. That's going to be interesting to watch.
That's insane.
Yes, he's a very, very big
That's
man.
That's a large human being right
You know what
there.
he looks like when you're playing Madden and you keep adding weight on your
You make
dynasty, what
that
he looks
creative
like?
player.
That's
Yeah.
exactly what he looks like on creative player. Like
He's
you just
bigger
kept
than.
pushing up and up, you know.
Yeah, he's a defensive lineman playing. My God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like if he can move around the pocket like Big Ben did at that size, or like a Cam Newton at that size, I want to see this kid play.
I do too. It's going to be very interesting. Amazing size for a human being in general, but you know, you're trying to sack that guy.
Like
Good
when he
luck.
said when he's a freshman at that size, it's like they're Bad Boys 2. How old are you? 15? 15? You look 30.
Yeah.
So that's a
Also,
grown man back there.
finally in the NFL news, NFL legend O.J. Simpson passes away at 76 years old yesterday. All the jokes we've seen him
Oh,
on
gee, they were
social
great.
media,
They were
all the
great.
memes, all funny. They're all about the Bronco. But you know what? I gotta settle the score with this O.J. Simpson. He's always you know, people say he's one of the best. He's one of the greatest. He's, you know, one of the best running backs. And when you talk about Franco Harris, you don't necessarily hear those words being used about Franco. You hear about him being a part of this great team. Let me, you want to hear some numbers, but
I
a
want to
little
hear some
comparison?
numbers because I know they're.
Here we
I don't know
go.
what people
Franco
would think.
Harris versus O.J. Simpson, guys. This is their career. Rushing yards. O.J. Simpson, 11,236 rushing yards. Pretty great career. Franco Harris, 12,120 yards.
Well, 12 sounds higher than 11.
Attempts. O.J. 2,404, 2,404 attempts. Franco 2,949 attempts. Touchdowns. Franco, I'm sorry, O.J. 61 touchdowns in his career.
Nice.
61 touchdowns. Franco Harris 91. 30 more
That's a little
touchdowns
30 more. That's
than the great O.J.
than the great.
Total receptions in their career. The great O.J. 203 receptions in his career.
Not bad.
Franco Harris, the running back on that great team, 307.
Wow.
307.
Wow. And that's with two Hall of Fame wide receivers.
It is. And a quarterback that, you know, because arguably it wasn't that great, but,
Was not that great.
yeah.
You look at his numbers, they weren't that great.
And also, Mike reception yards, O.J. Simpson, the great running back out of from the Buffalo Bills in the 70s. Reception yards, 2,142 in his career. 2,142 reception yards. Franco Harris, 2,287. O.J. Simpson did literally nothing better than Franco Harris did in the 70s, but it will always be touted as a great running back. Where Franco
Yeah.
Harris, he was a really good running back, but it was on a great team.
Yeah.
So.
Like we're, you know, like that Mean Joe Green said, you know, we really don't win anything till we until Franco got here. That's when they like
You're
that
right.
running game started, and that spurred the pass game, that spurred the defense.
This
And
franchise and what they are today started the day that Franco Harris got drafted.
yeah.
Prior to that, they were
Yeah.
nil. They were nothing. They were the worst. The day that Franco hired, thank Franco, thank the day we drafted him,
Yeah.
because it was that day on that the Steelers became the great organization and team that we all
Yeah.
know and love. So,
He was
gotta.
that final piece that they needed, and he really was needed.
Absolutely. Mike, why don't you
And
go tell everybody about the website?
thetwodungeonsers.com. If you're new here, you kind of
While
went over
you
there.
tell people, I'm gonna let people enjoy my shirt. So you can
Okay.
just, all
There
right.
you go. Yeah, thetwodungeonsers.com. You head on over there. We got a blog over there. We got our merchandise store over there. We got Ryan and I's social media links all over at thetwodungeonsers.com. Check it out. Check out that shirt. Shirt is great.
Caitlin fucking Clark. There you go, guys. Go check out the website, everybody. I just went over there last night, Mike. I really did. I enjoy the website. I think it got a lot of great stuff. Mike puts a lot of hard work into the website. Go check it out,
I try.
www.thetwodumbyinsers.com. Let's hop into some trivia for the day. This is a Philadelphia Phillies Pittsburgh Pirates trivia. Derpy on the board. Put your thinking cap on, Mike, on the board, everybody else on the board. This is a Philadelphia Phillies Pittsburgh Pirates trivia question. Here we go. I'm going to give you two set of numbers. These two numbers are the total franchise wins for the two teams. I need you to tell me which teams connect and relate to which numbers. Here we go. Mike, Derpy, everybody on the board. Who has more overall franchise wins, Pittsburgh or Philly? And here are the two sets of numbers. 10,772 wins. 10,772 wins. And 10,118 wins.
Ooh.
10,118 wins. These two numbers are the amount of wins by Pittsburgh and Philadelphia's Major League Baseball teams in their franchise history. I want you to tell me who was which, who has the most amount and who has the less. Again, the question, the amounts are 10,772 wins and 10,118 wins. Mike, who possesses more wins in their team's history, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh? One is 10,772. The persons who have the least amount is 10,118.
Mike,
the Pirates or the Philadelphia Phillies have more wins in their franchise history?
Taking the Buccos, baby. I'm taking
You're gonna say the Bucks?
I'm being a homer today. Right. I cannot pick anything Philadelphia. It's all about Pittsburgh.
That I totally understand.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, P says for the 10,772. So P says Philly. Mike says Pittsburgh. Derpy, the one that should be responding, isn't responding. I'll give another second, and I'll repeat it. That way Derpy doesn't get confused. You know what I'll do? Think it over, Derpy. We're live. We're live 5 days a week, everybody, right here, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every day throughout the week. The brand new live show that we do every day, we upload over on Spotify in podcast form. And over on Spotify, go check it out every day at 8 o'clock. That brand new show that we do gets uploaded in podcast form. Maybe you might be at the gym, maybe you might be at work, maybe in the car, and you can't watch the game, or maybe you just rather listen to the game. You could always go to Spotify and play our shows, which you can find in the catalog. Every single show we ever did, all 533, they're all there. Go check them out. All right, guys, the question of the day is, who has more franchise wins overall, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia? The numbers are 10,772 or 10,108. Mike says the Pirates. P on the board says Philly. And Brian's talking about OJ. And P says, what does P say? Guessing Philly had a team before Pittsburgh. So here we go. Here it comes, guys. I still don't know where Derpy is. I gave him ample opportunity.
That's typical Derpy. He's off. I bet he's on camera doing another show somewhere.
Playing our feet in the background again.
He probably is.
All right. So here's the answer, guys. I'm looking for one of these two franchises have the most wins in franchise history. The team with 10,772, guys, of course, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I kind of wish that, you know, the Derpy was here again, because I was going to tell him that how his team, the Guardians, who of course were the Indians forever, in 69. So he always gets on us about his Indians, his Guardians.
He does too.
Meanwhile, we have a hell of a lot more wins than his team has. So,
ha ha, Derpy, take that.
But anything before we get ready to take off, Mike?
Let's see. We got Steeler pre-draft visitors for today. We got WVU Center Zach Frazier, T-Rex Arms.
Wasn't he in yesterday? Or was...
No, that was JPJ the other day.
Okay.
We got WV cornerback Beanie Bishop. I just want us to draft him so we can have a guy named Beanie on the team.
Yeah.
And Iowa cornerback Cooper DeJean. is in town.
Cooper DeJean's a big pick. He's a good pick for whoever gets him. Just unfortunately, we don't have enough picks to go around to get all these guys that we'd like to have. But whoever gets Cooper DeJean is going to be happy. He could do a lot of things. He's very, very talented.
Yep.
So it's going to be good to have the guys in town, see what they got to say. Mike from the WWE LA Knight will be meeting fans at the Giant Eagle and Shaler on Friday, April 19th. You want to get out to meet this wrestler, LA Knight. He's kind of a, you know, up-and-coming name in WWE. He will be at Giant Eagle and Shaler on April 19th. I got to find out more. I was on Brian's show the other day. We were talking, and he started telling me about these NBA playoff play-in games.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know they were doing this. What is going on over the NBA?
I have no idea what the hell David Silver's doing over there. I think I would be a better NBA commissioner.
I want to talk about that a little bit more next week. We get a little bit of time. I got to look more into it. I don't know too much about these play-in games, but it's just kind of seems whack to me, man. But in the NBA, they're making their change, so I guess I could respect that. And they're, you know,
trying something different. I don't blame them at all.
I do want to say I also want to throw a thank you to Brian Pasquale, as always, who's on the board today as well. I was on his show the other day, and he's always very generous with plugs for our show, and I do want to throw it out there for him as well. Brian, check out his show every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. at Beaver County Radio. You could watch it on YouTube. You could also watch it on their Facebook page, and also they have a website. They're WBVP, Beaver County Radio, radio station. You can listen to them on air, and how else?
The app.
That's right. They have an app.
WBVP. I don't even work there, and I know.
Go get that. Put it on, and you are able to check out Brian every Wednesday from 5 to 6. Brian Pasquale, one man's opinion on sports. Really good stuff. I do encourage you to go check it out.
Check it out.
He says playing games started a few years ago.
Yeah.
I got to learn more about these. I think they just started the middle of the season tournament. Now they're doing – I'm just not up to date with these guys. I have to learn. I don't know what this play-in game thing is. It seems weird to me, but you know, maybe somebody likes it.
Keeps it interesting down the stretch.
I guess, yeah.
You know, you get more teams in it, more fan bases involved, and more eyes on the product.
All right. Hey, they're trying.
Hey.
Maybe the NHL could take some tips, right?
NHL needs a lot of tips from a lot of leagues.
You ain't kidding. Mike, anything else?
We're getting ready to take off. I got nothing. Thanks for everyone for watching. Appreciate it.
Yes, we do want to say happy 4-1-2 day. Also, the Penguins back in action tomorrow at home against the Bruins. Get down there, check them out. If not, they will be on television. The Pirates game 2 of 4 against Philadelphia today at 6:40. Riverhounds tomorrow night, 7:30 at home. Go down to Highmark Stadium, check them guys out. Also, Mike, less than 2 weeks till the NFL draft comes. That's a big thing.
I can't wait. I need it for my soul.
And you do have a little bit of spring football in the meantime to hold you over, as there is a whole schedule this week of UFL football games. So a lot of football to check out, a lot of sports to keep an eye on, and we certainly will be back to talk all about them on first thing on Monday morning. That's it, Mike?
That's it.
I assume Derpy has probably already punched out.
Yeah, he clocked out like 45 minutes ago.
But Mike, at the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, the Two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy your 4-1-2 day. And we'll see you on Monday morning. Bye-bye.
No. Oh.